Hello, world. This is Lawrence. Welcome to another edition of The World According to Lawrence, aired right here on WGXC 90.7 FM on your radio dial. We're glad to have you listen to our show. We are here in the year 2015 on a Tuesday. It's January 20th, and we hope everybody's having a good day so far. I just wanted to give a little disclosure about myself. My name is Bill Lawrence. I'm a Greene County legislator. I live in the town of Cairo. And this is we're coming up on 2 years now for the show, The World According to Lawrence, graciously allowed by the Wave Farm and owners of WGXC. We are also going to be talking today about a number of items which will affect you in the new year. But before I get to that point, let me just introduce my friend and colleague, Deborah Kemica. She's here, and she's going to just tell you about herself for a few seconds.
Good morning. So I work at the Carroll Library, and I live in Catskill and have lived in Greene County on and off most of my life. So this is going to be our next to last show, so... I want to say thank you also to WGXC for allowing us to have this program for the past 2 years.
Yeah, it's a sad day for us. We are looking, we look forward to doing the show every month. And of course, going on 2 years is a long time for anybody to be on the radio, except for maybe Rush Limbaugh and Howard Stern. However, we're nowhere near those particular two guys in talent or expertise. But we do have enjoyed being here on the air with you people out there. And today we're going to be talking about government waste. I thought it was a good topic to go out for the rest of the year. And you know that in April 15th, your taxes are due. Maybe you'd be interested in knowing what some of the tax money is used for. A lot of it, as you probably already know, is used for things that you would never in your own lifetime purchase or buy or spend money on. But just to give you a little bit of for instance, this comes from the CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes. She reports that our government program, this is 2014 now, spent $190,000 to study compost digested by worms. Another $856,000 went to train mountain lions to walk on treadmills. $10,000 for an Oregon children's theater production of Zombie in Love, the zombie apocalypse, and $46,000 on a snowmobile competition in Michigan. $414,000 was spent to update an Army video game meant to spur recruitment, a project, by the way, which is already $25 million over budget. All this plus rabbit massages at Ohio State University, butterfly farms on Oklahoma tribal lands, and an Iron Man suit under development by the Department of Defense. Laughing classes, paying people to understand and to teach people how to laugh. There's a lot of serious problems in this country, and maybe the reason people aren't laughing is because the government is so inept, which is part of the introduction that Tom Coburn, who is a United States Senator, does every year with his Pig Report, which is a book on the waste in government. And I think since there's a lot of wasted money in government, both at the state and federal level, we just, Deb and I thought we'd just go over some of the four instances of this waste so that you can get a better understanding of where your tax money goes, which, by the way, the government will collect whether or not you like it after April 15th. So let me just give you a little intro song here. This is a song by Frank Sinatra, and I thought it's a good way to start our hour off. It's How Little We Know. Listen to this.
How little we know, how much to discover, what chemical forces flow from lover to lover. How little we understand what touches off that tingle, that sudden explosion when two tingles intermingle. Who cares to define what chemistry this is? with your lips on mine. How ignorant bliss is, so long as you kiss me and the world around us shatters. How little it matters, how little we know. What touches off that tingle, that sudden explosion when two tingles intermingle? Who cares to define what chemistry this is? Who cares with your lips on mine? How ignorant bliss is, so long as you kiss me and the world around us shatters. How little it matters, how little we know, how little we know, how little.
And that is so true. How little we know what our government is doing with our money. And, of course, Deb and I are today. We're going to try to fill you in on some of the worst points of that expenditure by the U.S. federal government. Now some $17 trillion in debt. And getting worse every day if you watch that big meter where the money keeps tallying up for every second that the government has is allowed to spend your tax money. So I thought I'd start out by looking at some of the expenditures that took place in 2013. Now, this was about 2 years ago. It depends on the month, of course. These were the expenditures which were considered pork or pork barrel in various parts of the country in 2013. Number 10, and Deb, just tell me what you think of this. Maybe they are good expenditures. I don't know. An outhouse in Alaska, $98,000. Now, an outhouse in Alaska, this was spent by the Interior Department. They spent that much money to install an outhouse on an Alaskan trail, which includes just a single toilet with no internal plumbing. I don't know. My house has two bathrooms, and neither one of them cost anywhere near $98,000, and they do have internal plumbing. What do you think about that one?
You know, I did see something about that, and I think that was even reported on maybe in 2014 as still one of the most sort of misunderstood use of government funds. So you could see, I mean, I don't know, do they need an outhouse?
Well,
in the middle of sort of nowhere.
When you got to go, you got to go.
Right? Yeah, what is an outhouse? I'm not sure what kind of plumbing would be required, because by definition, doesn't an outhouse just go into a hole in the ground? I mean, so what?
Or sometimes it's just, so like the ones that these people, they buy them for parties, they rent them for parties and stuff, they just go into a chemical mix and then they're hauled away and dumped somewhere else.
Okay, so was it a
we're just what'd you say, Jeb? That is a train behind
us. It's making me think about the bathrooms on the train. You know, when you go to the bathroom on the train, where it holds.
That's right. It stays right on the train.
Yeah. So
then they dump it in Brooklyn.
Yeah. So was this an outhouse or a porta potty?
An outhouse.
So it was an actual outhouse. So by definition, an outhouse would be a box that's enclosed in a hole in the ground, right? So if you think of it that way, they don't really need much in the way of indoor plumbing. However, why would it cost $98,000? Did you say $98,000?
$98,000.
Yeah, why would it cost $98,000 to build a little building with a little seat with a hole in the seat? Seems like it's an expensive outhouse. I agree.
Well, it's whatever it was, it's certainly expensive. But now listen to this one. This is number 9. A bus stop with a heated pavement for Washington. $1 million. Now, that's nowhere near an outhouse, but 10 times as expensive. A lavish bus stop with heated pavement was built in Arlington, Virginia, but it failed to keep commuters warm or dry. So there's a big expenditure on something a lot less useful than an outhouse. I don't know.
But, you know, why, I guess my first reaction to that is it sounds kind of stupid.
It's stupid, yeah.
But if you were going to experiment, and maybe it was some sort of experiment, who knows, transportation comfort, why wouldn't you do it in the Northeast?
I'm thinking if you're going to...
Lake Placid or, you know, someplace where it actually... Buffalo...
I mean, if you're going to have a bus stop, wouldn't you want to heat the bus stop itself, not to pavement under it?
Yeah, well, maybe the thinking was that, you know, it's like the heat maybe they thought would rise up through their feet into their bodies. I don't know.
The only thing that went up were your taxes.
So what? So how long did they have this in existence? And you know. It just didn't work. They put it in. It didn't work in terms of mechanically, or it didn't actually keep people's feet warm.
Well, I think the problem was they didn't spend enough money on it. $1 million was not enough money. Anyway, here's number eight. A grant for a pole dancing performance. $10,000. That's not too bad. Utility poles, that is. The National Endowment for the Arts provided a grant to Power Up, which is a group, for Austin Energy employees to perform an artsy dance with 20 utility poles accompanied by a live orchestra. So I assume there is some value to that for somebody, but I'm not sure exactly what it is. And $10,000 could have been spent somewhere else, I think.
Well, who knows? It's hard to say what the caliber of the performance was. I mean, you know, 5,000 here, 10,000 there. Yeah, it all adds up for a particular performance. I don't know. It's hard to.
Well, we put on some shows ourselves, Deb, where we've done much better shows than a pole dance, and we've got a lot less than $10,000 in fundraising.
Some of the fundraising activities that we did for the station, is that what you mean, like the talent shows?
Yeah, right.
Or where we had bands come in and perform for free? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, a lot of this stuff sounds really awful where the money is going, but I don't know with the art stuff.
Well, here's number seven, pizza from a printer. $125,000. NASA gave a six-figure grant to a company that aspires to make pizza from a 3D printer. But I would assume it's going to taste a little bit like plastic at that point. You know about 3D printers?
Wait, yeah, I do, but I don't understand. So in order for this 3D printer to make pizza, I'm assuming it would have to be connected to an oven, or does it just make the pizza and then you still have to put it in the oven?
Yeah.
Or... I don't understand it.
I don't know about that. That's a good question, though. I mean, if I were going to make a pizza, if I wanted a machine to make a pizza, I wanted it to come out done so I could eat it. I don't have to make it, then go and put it into an oven somewhere else, especially if you're in space.
Yeah, and what would be the advantage to having a 3D printer do it rather than having a frozen pizza?
That's a good question. Well, because that way they wouldn't have to spend $125,000.
I don't know. I don't get it. But.
Number six. This is a number 2013. Number six waste of money was a study to find out if couples are happier when the woman comes down after an argument. $335,000 to find that out.
Wait. What is it when the woman what? Calms
the study
down?
Was to find out if couples are happier when the woman calms down after an argument. Forget about the man. Only when the woman calms down.
Well, that's part B. So part A is to study what happens when the woman calms down. Part B will be when the man calms down. And no. Then they'll have to do spend more money to do a comparison. And then they'll have to, I guess.
That's a third of $1 million of dollars. I mean, I guess men are always happy after an argument. I'm not sure. But, I mean, the woman, when she comes down, is she going to make the couple happier? They found that they did this. What was it? Based on the marriages that were the happiest were the ones in which the wives were able to calm down quickly during marital conflict. So there you go. The women are really responsible for all the conflict in marriages.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure that somebody's complaining about that study.
Now here's another one. Five, booze and crystal for the State Department. This is in 2013. $5.4 million. The State Department went on a bender the week before the government shutdown, purchasing $5 million of exquisite crystal glassware to drink the $400,000 in booze they purchased in 2013. Now, that is a waste of money, if you ask me.
Wait, are you saying that the government used
taxpayer money
to buy alcohol for a party for themselves?
I assume it's going to be for a party. I don't know if it's going to be for themselves or for some potentate from some other country. But I do think that $5.4 million on glassware is a little bit too much. What's wrong with plastic, right?
I know. Red Solo cup. I don't know.
Number four, the fourth worst expenditure was monitoring depression on Twitter. $82,000. The National Institute of Health is funding a study to use Twitter for surveillance on depressed people. They must be working in conjunction with the National Security Administration because everybody's spying on somebody anyway. But do you think Twitter is a good way to see if people are depressed?
Wait, who's monitoring this?
The National Institute of Health.
So they're on everybody's Twitter account
they're
monitoring
studying Twitter
it, but everyone who's on
surveil?
Twitter?
I don't know. Are you on Twitter?
No.
Okay, you're probably not depressed. Okay, so...
I'm just trying to get my head around how many people do they have working on...
Well, it's like the NSA. They monitor everybody in the United States. I mean, I don't know what Twitter does.
So it must be some kind of...
I'm sure
random selection.
Innocent. I'm sure it's innocent.
You know, they select somebody and monitor that person for a while.
Or maybe they just monitor the ones that are depressed.
How do they know? So they put in keywords into some kind of computer program.
Exactly,
and if something
yeah.
comes up that may be indicative of depression, then they start monitoring that person?
What are keywords for depression? Sadness. I'm sad. I'm lonely.
I'm depressed.
I'm depressed. Yeah, that might be a good one, too. Number three is a seven-figure stack of rocks at the London Embassy. This costs $1 million. The American Embassy in London will be receiving a granite sculpture from an artist whose work resembles stacked piles of paving stones. So there you go. You pay for $1 million, you pay for a stack of stones, you go over to England, you line them up as a stack, and you are an artist. How do you like that?
hard to say.
Number two, artwork for Veterans Affairs offices, $500,000. The Department of Veterans Affairs went on a spending spree during the use it or lose it season, which is when if you don't use up all your money in your budget, they don't give it back to you, purchasing over $500,000 in artwork and millions in furniture in a single week. And here they are, the veterans are complaining about the kind of care they get,
yeah.
and yet they're spending all this money on ridiculous things like artwork.
Well, talking about Veterans Affairs, you know, those executives in that healthcare center that were caught covering up the hidden wait list are apparently on administrative leave.
Yeah,
and
they should be.
Continue to get their... annual government salaries.
Oh,
I guess the average is like $85,000.
They should be getting that.
So, not quite sure, you know, maybe the wheels of justice grind really slowly for the United States government. It seems to me that if somebody did something like that, it would be grounds for termination. What do you think, Bill? Do people get to do whatever they want? There's another government employee that was watching pornography and admitted to watching pornography six hours a day, every day while he was on the job, and he's on administrative leave. At what point does anybody get to say, you're fired?
Was he depressed?
No, maybe.
No, I think that's a problem.
Maybe he was on Twitter and he was depressed, and so, you know, they're afraid they'll get sued if they fired him because he wasn't responsible for watching pornography while he was at work when he was supposed to be monitoring government security.
And one of the complaints many people have is the fact that you've worked for the government, whether it's local or state or federal, and you never seem to have any accountability. And I think that's true for the federal government in their Veterans Affairs case. If what you said is true, these guys who created all that turmoil now are on leave. They're not doing any work, and they're being paid their same salary, which is it's a very nice benefit, let me tell you. Anyway, Deb, here's the number one 2013 waste of government money. Government employees trip to a luxury hotel in the Caribbean. Federal employees took a taxpayer-funded trip to the Buccaneer Hotel in St. Croix, the same hotel made famous on TV's The Bachelor. You watch that show, don't you? The bill was divided among a number of agencies, making a final tally difficult to come by. How do you like that? Going to the Caribbean on taxpayer dime.
Wait, so were they saying that they were going on a retreat, or was it some
kind
of
conference?
I'm
sure it was to improve their productivity.
I mean, I've never seen The Bachelor, but I'm assuming it's kind of a... It's on television. It's probably a luxury hotel.
It's,
not like hotel,
swanky.
Motel 65 or whatever it is.
Yeah,
Motel 6.
I just don't think federal employees should be going on taxpayer-funded trips. I mean, of that nature. I understand training. I understand the seminars and understand things of that, educational things, but not for just relaxation.
Well, you know, there was this... sort of luxury trip that I went on some years back, thanks to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and they sent a bunch of librarians and trustees and related people to kind of a fancy place up in Lake George, and it was all very nice and stuff. We were there 3 or 4 days, and you know, I mean, not government money, it's Bill Gates's money, but it was to talk about computers and broadband and availability, and again, very nice, but I think a lot of us were sitting there and thinking what it was costing Mr. Gates for us to sit around and talk about these issues. Could have been money that could have been spent on actually putting in additional computers into libraries or infrastructure.
This is my
personal opinion, and I'm not representing any other librarians when I say this.
Unlike the federal government, Bill Gates can afford it. Okay,
yeah.
So if he wants to waste his money on librarians just to go on a trip, that's fine. Now, of course, he could have probably used that money for equipment and stuff, as you said. But I'm sure he had his reasons.
We had a clown too. There was a clown.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know.
So you know, maybe this whole government thing about studying laughter and the importance of laughter.
Yeah, true,
and
true.
There was some study where the government money, where they were looking at college students and the investing money and some classes that were supposed to teach students the value of having a sense of humor and laughter. I don't know. It's all a little bit crazy.
I just think that anybody who's made himself a fortune of $50 billion or more as an individual has a pretty good idea of what he's doing, I believe.
Yeah, well, please don't take this as criticizing
Bill Gates,
Bill Gates, who actually gave the library and many libraries computers a number of years back, and really appreciate that and appreciate the interest. Most libraries operate on such a tight budget, and we're constantly thinking of ways to save money. And, so when I'm sitting there eating really, scrumptious food, and I have this cabin in the woods and the fireplace, I'm thinking, this is really great. I kind of like this. However, I'm thinking I probably could have bought several new computers for the library in the same amount of money. So,
good point.
Anyway,
I have an honorable mention. In 2013, a Super Bowl champion Obamacare campaign, $130,000 was given to the Baltimore Ravens to sponsor the Affordable Care Act. So, you know what it comes down to, Deb? All that wasted money, and this year in 2014, 2015, the one single thing this is all about is...
I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball. It's a rich man's world.
Money, money, money. Of course, that's what it all comes down to. Whether the government wastes it or uses it for good purposes, it's money that comes out of your pocket. So remember that. And control of that money is vested in your representative. So if you have a concern about the way it's spent, make sure that you give them a note or give them a call or send them an email and let them know how you feel about some of this waste that we're talking about here today. Now, every year, the Citizens Against Government Waste put together what they call a pig book. And pig book, of course, meaning the pork that is included in various resolutions or laws or tax paid sponsorship that the government does. The pig book is something that shows where this money is wasted. And this year, in 2014, I say this year, of course, 2015 just started, the pig book lists a number of very expensive projects that have been requested. I just want to go over the criteria for how something becomes a pork barrel item. Number one, it's requested by one chamber of Congress, so that would be the House of Representatives or the Senate. It is not specifically authorized by the President or by Congress. It's not competitively awarded. In other words, there's no bidding process. It's not requested by the President. It greatly exceeds the President's budget request or the previous year's funding. It's not subject to congressional hearings. And it only serves a local or special interest. So this is where the pig book monies that we're going to be talking about today come from. They come from a series of expenses that are asked for by a particular group, or usually a senator or congressman, who wants it to go back to his district so that he can say he's done something for his residents. And believe me, we have all taken advantage of that, whether it's in New York State or any other state. Money that comes back to the state because our congressman or senator got that money for us is usually appreciated by us, even though some of this money is for frivolous, very frivolous reasons. So we're going to go through a number of these, and I'm just going to, I know, Deb, you agree with the way that's decided?
You know,
okay, maybe you're
well,
not.
Having been the recipient of some of these, you know, for the library,
well, let's take for example.
I don't want to be a hypocrite about this, but right. I mean, I'm, you know, so, you know, a few thousand dollars to the library to, you know, to remodel and upgrade the space. Yeah.
I mean, it's just that the money that comes back in grants, and a lot of grant money is out there, at no cost to you, the taxpayer, is always a big lie, because all grant money has to come from some source. And I think we just sort of assume that if we're not paying for it directly out of our pockets, it must be free. And that's where I think the idea of this pig book came from.
But, you know, I'm not so sure that, you know, there's not some, at least was the grants that I got, that there wasn't competition. I remember a local lawmaker saying to me, I'd love to help the library, but the farmers are really struggling this year. So, you know, there's competition. You know, he weighed, you know, what the benefit of doing what I wanted for the library against what the farmers were needing in that particular year, which was a really bad year for farmers. And, you know, so.
Yeah, I'm not saying all grants are pork. I think a lot of grants are useful, and they do something good for the community or for the state or for the federal government even. However, this book, that what we're going to talk about today, these are grants or monies that have been allocated for things that nobody in their right mind would probably want.
Yeah, and it seems as though there's a really a fair amount of duplication going on here, where there's several different you know, organizations that are receiving funds to do what sounds like the exact same thing.
Anyway, that money that is spent, whether it's for good grants or for bad pork, is based on you, the taxpayer. And, of course, the IRS is in charge of that. And you may have heard recently, they're going to have trouble getting you back your refund this year because they are so short of staff and so short of time to do it. They've lost a lot of funding, and I wonder why after last year's particular scenarios where they were investigating groups for the purposes of political reasons. But the money that's going to be coming forward for these grants is going to be coming from you, the taxpayer. And here's the IRS theme song. One way or another, they're going to get you. So be careful for those of you that think you can fool the IRS. They have their ways of getting the money they need for all these projects, whether they're good or bad. So that's also, by the way, the Blondie song, One Way or Another, is a theme song for this particular show. I love Blondie. She was a great band. All right, we're going to start out here. I'm going to just start out with the Department of Defense. Now, of course, I'm a big defense guy. I think we need to have top-notch Army and Navy and Marine Corps, and being careful about our neighbors and, of course, the rest of the world to some degree. But the Department of Defense wants to spend $90 million. This was now in 2014. $90 million to upgrade the M1 Abrams tank. Now, tanks, of course, were very useful in World War II, but in today's world, there's not much call for them, and especially the Abrams tank, which is a pretty high-design tank to begin with. But Congress maintained its longstanding tradition of jamming through unwanted funding for the Abrams tank in 2014. The earmark was added to the budget despite the protest of the Army Chief of Staff himself, who who said that the Army has more than enough tanks, including 2,000 sitting idle in the California desert. The Army has proposed delaying the M1 tank upgrade until 2017, saving taxpayers some $3 billion. During this time frame, the Department of Defense would focus on designing the next generation, which would be better equipped for the changing nature of warfare, which is what's happening, of course, everywhere. Intended to take on other tanks, the M1 is susceptible to asymmetrical tactics, such as improvised explosive devices used by insurgents in Iraq and Afghanistan. So there you have it, $90 million that could be saved, even at the advice of the Army Chief of Staff.
Apparently it got a lot of support, this bill that, you know, could have been voted down was signed by 173 representatives.
I know, because they're looking at it from thinking, oh, the Army needs all this money, or the military needs all this money, but maybe you ought to direct it in a better way than they've been doing.
Well, who makes the tanks?
Well, it's obviously some state contract. Some contractor is designing the tanks, and of course, that's keeping people employed. So it's a
domino
effect.
That's what I think
it's
going back to. It's going back to keeping these people employed and until they come up with the better design that they talk about.
But really,
Why are there 2,000 tanks sitting in the California desert?
Because there's not a big call for tanks in most of the peacetime. I mean, there's a few outbreaks in the war, but 2,000 tanks is a considerable number of heavy equipment.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure. So that there's 2,000 that are sitting there, and then I'm assuming there's others that are in service.
In service, right.
And I wonder, so how many tanks does $90,000 buy?
$90 million.
I'm sorry.
That's just for the design. That's not for the tanks themselves.
Oh, that's just for the design.
$3 billion to build the tanks.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Yeah, so I wonder how many tanks does it say?
It does not say. I'm
just curious how many tanks we're going to have sitting idle in the California desert in addition to the 2,000 that are already
there. You got another waste of money?
Oh, there's so many.
Why don't you just pick out one?
But yes, let's see. Defense. Let's see. And on the Government Accountability Office annual report. This goes back to 2012, but you know, apparently it's continuing. Found out that $3 billion was spent across 13 agencies for STEM programs, which you know, STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, which is all, good stuff for the kids to learn. But apparently, there's a lot of duplication, and President Obama had proposed consolidating and eliminating some of these STEM programs to save money, but that hasn't happened. I think that's part of the problem with some of these things that are listed in this book, is that these things, some of them, I don't know about the tanks, but some of them in and of themselves are good things and have positive benefits, but there's overlap, and so, you know, if you have 20 agencies doing something that two agencies could do, of course, it's going to cost you a lot more money.
Of course. And basically, all these departments, we're not picking on the Department of Defense. I mean, it's every department in the federal government has this problem. But the idea is that they want to spend the money because they got it in their budget. If they don't spend it, they won't get it back. It's that use it or lose it mentality. So we just wanted to celebrate it with this little song right here.
Everybody's fighting on with each other. You got no one you can count on, baby, not even your own brother. So if someone comes along, he gonna give you some love and a You're taking a gamble on a little sign.
Okay, Get It While You Can. That's by the legendary Janis Joplin. And, of course, many departments in our federal government and in our state house decided that in order to get this money, they better spend it. And, of course, they sometimes spend it on things that you or I would probably think are kind of a waste. Called the Pig Book. We're going to go to another couple of things that come from the Pig Book. The Health and Human Services Department. Now, here's something. They've spent $5 million for abstinence education. Since 1996, the United States has spent more than $1.8 billion for abstinence education programs. And I really don't think they're working. In the 2008-2009, former Senator Arlen Specter from Pennsylvania was responsible for 47 abstinence education earmarks in Pennsylvania alone, worth $1.4 million. Since 2001, 128 earmarks worth $18.2 million have been provided for abstinence education programs. Now, sex education, I think in its own way, is important. However, abstinence education, I think, is just a pork barrel idea. And the earmark for 2014 demonstrates that the only thing that Congress cannot abstain from is spending money on this kind of pork barrel legislation.
Wait, so doesn't sex education include abstinence?
Right, but I
so
think
I mean, is so you're so these programs are simply
this is separate
abstinence?
And above
just
that.
I'm pretty sure they've shown that this doesn't work, right?
Well, I think our people out of wedlock, people being born out of wedlock, has increased. I think the percentages are much higher than they were back in 2001, and it's just unfortunate that the thing about raising a family is to have a good role model for one, and I don't see that happening much anymore in the United States. Very far and few between.
So when was this program initiated?
Started back in 1996 is when it started, but they spent since that time. So,
The abstinence program is taking place in the public schools?
I don't know where it doesn't say that here. I would assume it's in their own particular locations in Pennsylvania. Why would their schools be different than any other school?
I don't know. Hard to figure that one out. How much was it?
Total for this year alone was $5 million. But since 1996, it's been $1.8 billion.
Be interesting to see the statistics for those areas in terms of...
yeah, just what the population
assuming
is,
they're
right?
talking about teens. You
teen,
know,
yeah, teens. And
teen, what are the statistics on teen pregnancy compared to, some other place, some other state that is not having this sort of intensive abstinence programming going on?
Exactly. So what do you got? What's the next one?
Well, there's so many. so here's one that is an earmark in the Financial Services and General Government Appropriations Act, which apparently has tripled from 2012. One of the appropriations is over $45 million for high-intensity drug trafficking areas program. It's the Office of National Drug Control Policy that oversees this. And it was originally intended for border states.
Which makes sense.
However, for some reason now they're expanding it to include other states such as Iowa and Hawaii, Wisconsin. So I don't know if those do
borders
those
of
states.
Canada.
Yeah, do those particular states? Does Iowa and Wisconsin? Do they have like particularly high intensity drug trafficking?
How much
going
do they spend on it?
$45 million.
$45 million. Okay.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't. Since I guess it started 1997. So altogether, $161.6 million. I'm just wondering what was the basis for determining these particular states, which also include Alabama, New Jersey, Tennessee.
I think I can tell you what determined it. Some politician bringing home the bacon for his district. I mean, for the most part, Hawaii and Iowa and Wisconsin are not border states, not where things, you know, people cross over much. I'm sure there are drugs in every state. I mean, there's a problem in every
there's
state.
No doubt about that. But that's what I'm saying, you know. So it seems maybe a little arbitrary on the surface.
No doubt about it. In any case, we want you to talk to your congressman or to your senator and ask them why this money is being spent on these programs if you have your concerns about them. And we hope you don't hear this.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. Restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stared by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound. Silence, and in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never share. No one did the sound of silence. Fool said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words like silent raindrops.
Yeah, we hope when you talk to your congressman or senator, you don't hear the sounds of silence. Make sure you get a good answer from them, at least one that makes you feel that they know what you're talking about in any case.
Well, actually, I had tried to contact Governor Cuomo's office. Apparently, back in 2011, you know, there was an audit of that reported some widespread waste and spending by our New York State government. And several months after that, Governor Cuomo announced his steps to cut waste and improve the government efficiency. And he was,
hooray for Cuomo.
Yeah, expecting to save $600 million or more over the next 5 years. So it's like 3 years into that now, going on 4 years. So I hadn't heard much about, you know, what was happening with reform. So I you know, contacted his office a couple of times over the last week or so to see, you know, maybe they had a press release telling me what improvements and what cuts were taking place. I haven't heard back yet. Just one last note about Cuomo. When he was campaigning last fall, Bill, he said that the high taxes in New York were, you know, we could... really, it was the local government, the fault of the local government.
Oh, my gosh.
That the local government is to blame for this. So if anybody has complaints about high taxes in New York State, they should contact Bill Lawrence. Bill, would you give them your email address?
I will not. Not now. Not as you said that. But if you send me an email, I won't respond either. So just like Cuomo. Read a couple of those things there. What were some of the
waste?
In 2011. The first one you read there was an interesting one. The first one.
Yeah. Apparently, there was at that time 1 million square feet of state office space that was sitting vacant. while agencies were continuing to sign new leases. And then there's like millions of dollars that were being spent on toll-free numbers. And, you know, when they looked at it, half of them hadn't been dialed in months and months.
Never used, yeah.
The computer data centers that were supposed to back up one another in case of some kind of crippling terrorist attack or something. Were not really going to function in that way because they were all built within a few miles of each other and two of them within sight of each other. So just some, you know, the duplication and services and, you know, the vendors who were charging one state agency 50 cents for a paperclip or whatever, and then charging somebody else $2.50. there was no coordination of services that was happening, and some of the IT problems, you know, they're spending money on trying to fix computer systems and that the State Office of Children and Family Services and spent $351 million to fix this, and apparently still wasn't fixed. So we don't
problems.
Really have time to go into detail right now. But
it's not just the federal government, it's the state government and probably the local government to some extent. I mean, we all have our issues with our local town, county, and village governments. But don't be afraid to speak up. That's your right as a citizen of the United States. And whatever happens, remember this.
But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned.